Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Say, a beautiful poem written by my big brother Jay Hatter, and the music and singing is by Shout Even Shy. Great song, great poem. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a chat group, writing group, big family that hangs out on allpoetry.com. It's a free poetry site where we write our poems and share them. And if you remember, or if you decide to join, you can look us up on the group tab, A Team of Voices, and you could hang out with us if you would like. Also on the chat wall for A Team of Voices, we share the links from the show so that the people in the chat room can read along and write their comments. We also take callers who can comment or read their poems or just hang with us for a bit. And that number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we would love to hear from you. And tonight we are, aside from some art choices that the poets got to pick from, We also had some really amazing lines from some of the poetry by the poet Budo. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of poems were inspired by his words. And the shows that have been from the other poets' lines have been spectacular. So I think when I'm done, for the people who contribute all the time but aren't able to call in, I'm just going to start back over again with my list and just why take the time to look up the quotes of famous poets when I have an amazing bunch of peers that write a variety of fabulous poetry, and I'm going to just continue to use their lines and have us be inspired by each other. So we have that to look forward to. But in the meantime, let's get tonight going. You're here with me, Deborah Lee, and my big brother, Jay Hatter. Hatter.
Hello, Deborah.
Glad you're here, Hatter.
Hear me? Me too.
And we are also, another one of our amazing board members is here at the moment, my sweet pea. Hey, sweet, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Sweet pea. Won't you dance with me?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Aw, Hatter's singing for you, Hattie.
Hi, Hatter. Thank you.
Hi. I'm okay. How
and,
are you?
Oops, let me get the next line, which I believe is Stephen, because I don't like to say just. Stephen, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hello, and I know your wife had, and I had spoke by inbox, and she swamped, so she said that you would be reading for her, so I'm glad you're here, and
Let me guess, she's tied up.
Stephen will never tell. And right behind Stephen is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Oh, wait. Looks like I lost him. I wonder what happened. Yeah, I had just pushed the mic open and he was gone. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, I'm going to just go over and grab Kate Paul because I know that Stephen has been on the radio with his wife all night because I normally call there before here and it was just one of them days and I haven't missed very many Mondays, so it's kind of a bummer to have missed this one. But in the meantime, I'm grabbing the one that Kay wrote for us and running it to the board. And Stephen, if you would let us know which quote was chosen, and then read for your wife. I'd appreciate it.
Let's see. Looks like the quote is reaching for the reincarnated in a loss of brethren. And the title is also a statement of a quote, too, from Budo. And the title is Hallow's Visage Upon Dawn's Face by Kay. In the wake of a grinning jester, the fish pay no mind. Wind to feather, the storm is misting through. Static's grains foggy in the beach. How he sits, the voices of calm at the end. Pluto's form, gluttony feasts, keep to the beats, steps in the corals howls, paper mache and toils of red pink, glittering confetti jingle, and the beast uprooted. Thither the pines, waters, its giggling, the mud worn like thick blood, draft tabling, vehicle distancing, frigid and china clanking, lodgment moot, unheard, end poem.
My goodness, the visuals through here. Boggy in the breach, how he sits, the voices are silent. that there was a sadness throughout here, and then mosquito swarm, gluttony feasts, and I'm almost itching now thinking of the, you know, the gluttony feast. They're biting. They're hungry. They keep to the beats, step to the coral's howls, and the coral's howls is like it's so perfect for the picture because it's a lightning storm, but there's reds and pinks. So the coral, you know, the red, pink, corals. So it's like it makes for, yeah, I can't even talk today. It makes for great scenery. Wickers of pines, I think, is a great metaphor. Edgewaters, it's giggling children, the mud worn, thick like blood. And that brings me back to that sad, overpowering sadness. Vehicle, distancing, frigid, and China clanking, and for some reason it kind of feels like a car accident, like it was getting away or it was driving away, and then there was noise. So there was like, whew, so many different things. I was pulled between the thoughts of what was happening in the nature and then the stuff that was going on the side. And what was that? Wind to feather the storm is misting. And you can see like the movement and the feather motion. So, I mean, there's just so many great descriptions and metaphors here, but there always are. And I think that you did a great job reading, Stephen. Wow. And only 60 people liked it. Wow, only 60. That's amazing. Fantastic. Let me get some comments for Miss Kay. How about if I get a comment from Hatter? Oh, let me let Wayne back in.
Hey, I'm back. Wayne. Sorry about my phone.
That's okay. I'm just glad you called back. And I'm just about to get some comments for Kay. Hatter, will you comment, please?
Yeah, I'm trying to. How he sits, the voices are silent. Are you talking about just the jester fish still? That the storm is missing through kind of static grains. That's how life started, I hear. Lightning hitting some far more ooze. She's great with metaphors. Workers of pine, edge waters of giggling. It's giggling children. Much more. I'm a little bit lost. I have to reread this, dissect it. Giggling children. Great image, though.
Great comment.
I'm no good.
And let's see what Sweet thought.
Oh, yeah, Sweet. I'm off mute. I'm looking for my mute button, and I'm already off mute. Da, da, da. I think the imagery of going from light to dark and light to dark really represents the metaphorical, life and death. And I think she really kind of shows us this pattern of the critical, you know, kind of some of the weird things we go through life. That path, representing the storm. She has a way with her words, and I think that there's that depth of that in this. She can always, you know, not always be, because she doesn't always, but she has this abstract thing about her, and for this is kind of what I'm seeing in the abstract, and it's probably just a straight out storm poem, and I'm going all batty with it, but it's kind of what I see in it, and I think it's kind of cool. So way to be, Kay. And if I'm totally wrong, well, then it's just a bunch of mosquitoes in a storm, and I'm in a job.
me too.
Well, the thing is, though, I don't really believe that there is a right or wrong. I think, however, it strikes the reader. You know what I mean? How could it be wrong if that's what it said to you? And if you look at it with the quote, reaching for the reincarnated in the loss of brethren, brethren. See, I can't talk. She's got the loss shown in there so that the emotions are pretty cool. And I forgot to mention when I was commenting, Hallow's visage upon Dawn's face. I like that she for the title. So, Wayne, did you get to hear the poem? Were you back in time?
Yeah, I heard most of it, and I read the rest of it, but it's a wonderful poem. It's got a sadness and a loneliness about it that kind of sets the mood all the way through, and it's got great phrasing as usual, as Kay usually has. And I like the way it started when it said, in the wink of the grinning jester, the fish pay no mind. That reminds me of Stephen going fishing. He don't get the fish don't pay him no mind either when he goes fishing. It's a great poem. I enjoyed it.
Cool comment. Thank you. And Stephen, you read, and I bet that you are going to say to us, well, since I talked to Kay, and you're going to tell us all what is here. So stock it to us, dear heart.
I'm just going to read what I commented on it because I thought that this, to me, it spoke of a storms, you know, that brew above the surface or brew outside, but there's still a calmness remaining beneath. Being able to stay calm in the storm is kind of what I saw here, but definitely, you know, peppered with that wonderful dark imagery that she brings to. It's an excellent piece.
Awesome comment. And did you want to tell us what's coming up over at Poetic Slice Life before you read yours?
Sure, I can do that. Let's see. Our next show is the Poetic Inklings of tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And we are going to look, it is Christmas time, but we're going to look at love. And we're also going to look at the movie Love Actually. So you can bring a poem about love or love at Christmas. Or you have quotes from the movie Love Actually to write to as well if you wanted to go that direction. And that is at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Friday we have a movement of sound. It's one that we had to cancel earlier this month. So we're going to bring it on Friday, Pearl Jam. We're going to be listening to Pearl Jam music. We're going to learn about that music, and we'll read some poems inspired by that music. And then Saturday, as always, it's Storyboard with Sky Darkholm, and she is bringing the movie Mixed Nuts, starring Steve Martin. Quote rights, character rights, movie rights. Come out and geek out with Sky, 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Sounds like some fun stuff, and I'm pretty sure I already did my co-way, so I'm ahead of the game for a change. I can just write for Wednesday. Or is that Wednesday? Now I'm so confused. Okay, anyway, your poem is in the board, sir, if you would please read the quote that you chose that inspired you.
Okay, yeah, the quote that I chose was, Cattails Reach Skyward for that last gleam of luminescence, waving farewell to a companion who kisses back one final time. And I call this Trout Swim By as Autumn Leaves Fly. As painted fronds kiss the river surface and follow it downstream, lax tree limbs comb the skin, causing ripples that glimmer in sunbeams. Steelhead wriggle past to spawning waters by rapids and waterfalls. Cattails bow to stream as autumn hears the winter windy call. End poem.
Trout swim by as autumn leaves fly. I think that would be a fisherman's paradise to just watch the trout swim as much as the leaves are falling. So like that's a well-stocked lake, I must say. And then here we go. You showing off with these four liners. You got 20 of them now, and I was all celebrating my one. I finally got one. But 20 is fantastic. And I liked that you're always able to pack a whole lot into those four lines, an entire visual experience to go with the art or whatever your prompt might happen to be. And I liked it in the middle, lack of tree limbs combed in, causing ripples that glimmer in the sunbeams. Steelhead wiggle wriggle past the spawning waters by rapids and waterfalls. Now, the steelhead's a kind of fish, right? So,
yes.
I mean,
yes, it is.
Talk about a day full of a fisherman's paradise when you got the trout and the title, you got the steelheads here. I mean, how could you go wrong? And I mean, you could hear the waterfall. You can picture the fish swimming around. I think I could almost hear you casting out your line so that you can catch some of these bad boys. So it's just a visual treat all wrapped up in four little lines. You're really, really getting great at these four-liners, Stephen. That's awesome. Great brevity. Let me get you some quotes. I mean, some comments here. Ugh. Come on, get your head in the game, woman. My sweet, what do you think?
Well, I've got to say a little thing to Mr. Stephen. Stop it. You are getting so good, and I am just amazed by you. You have me befuddled and amazed. First off, I cannot tell you how much I like a poem in fewer words than what your poem is. So I'm learning, like, how to shorten what I say, which is very difficult. So I feel like, you know, grasshopper. This is crazy. But I want to be in what you wrote. I want to be in this lovely place. Your imagery is just outstanding and beautiful, and at the highest compliments possible to you, sir. The last couple of poems you've written have been short and beautiful, and this is just another one. And obviously, I'm very fond of it, and I just don't know how to be shorter than your poem. So forgive me.
Some comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I thought I might have spoken too soon a while ago, because I think Stephen does pay attention to fish, and the fish pay attention to him. He let the stuff out for a trout cookout. Did a great job with his poem, great descriptions, nice little brevity. You might not shoot for three lines. You get so good at this four-line pins, you might not shoot for three lines, but you're pretty damn remarkable. Great job with that poem.
You know, Wayne, I was actually, when he started reading, that was the first thing that came to my mind. What was that Wayne just said? Anyway, Hunter, what you think?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, those are sacred words in my dad's house, steelhead, trout. You know, this should be on every Cabrillas or Rapala calendar for the month of month of January. Very good.
Thank you, Hunter.
Wait.
Yeah. Look at that stream. I want to be there.
Yeah.
A little warm with a salmon egg at the end.
Yeah,
a salmon egg at the end. Yeah. No,
always.
It does. It just looks like some place that you want to be. And then when Stephen reads about, you know, the fish and the other stuff going on around, it's like, yeah, take me there. Let's go. And it, look, other than natural wildlife and you know, nature sound, it looks like it's just so peaceful and quiet and tranquil. And some days you can really use that, you know, like today. But no, fantastic poem. And I got everyone I did. Okay, so I put Titus's link on the board. If you guys would click on that, I shall push play. Got it, Hatter?
Got it. Yeah, got it.
Reality beckons. Insipid tongues are known to dapple with the sky, hacking through the mists. The domes of clouds reply softly. Pillows all consulting with, they lie. Seeing, believing what I know, the truth it shrouds. Denying death would be cast from the underworld. The warning grey, a disturbed mind, no. A dragon roams across the horizon. The clouds of unfurled sacrilege. A dragon's flame inverts the daydream legend. A quarter of the way exceeds suspicion. Dark below, death cannot be seen and nor can sanity be believed until too late, did trouble say. It led a saddened woe until that arrival. Survival relies upon the aggrieved. With every sinew once established, a reality beckons to show us the truth. Our minds have now exceeded to douse the flames. How the years become seconds, uncoiling what was first thoughts, a mind unimpeded. Insipid tongues say no more. But if there is any truth on matters relating to the theories, a dragon's breath could not have raised the dead had it tried. If proof needed to raise willingness, very unlikely, said Death.
My goodness. Oh, and I forgot to do it before I pushed play, but the inspiration from Budo was insipid tongue knows no quarter, hacking through the ligaments of sanity. And wow, where is it, the second stanza, denying death would be cast from the underworld, the warning gray, a disturbed mind, no, a dragon roams across the horizon. The clouds have unfurled sacrilege. A dragon's flame inverts a daydream's lagging. It's like there's just something. You look at that, and I can see towards the bottom left corner. It, to me, in those clouds, looked just like a dragon moving through the sky under that raging reds and orange fire flame colors that are in the clouds above it. And I did wonder, a side note from that if whoever chose that art, if they would see the dragon there. And I'm just really, really excited that he has the dragon in here. And then the second to the last stanza, with every sinew once established, a reality beckons to show us the truth. Our minds have now exceeded to douse the flames. How the years became seconds, uncoiling what was first thought, a mind unimpeded. There's something about our the reality beckons to show us the truth, and sometimes we fight the truth, and our minds have now exceeded to douse the flame. So it's just like it feels kind of like it's fighting to acknowledge that reality. But the wording is so amazing. And then uncoiling what was first thought, a mind unimpeded. Because, of course, you know, sometimes you just think in your mind that, you know, this is it. And then you get hit with the reality. And it's sometimes very sobering, sometimes shocking. But I think that this is really powerful. And then the last two lines, could not have raised the dead had it tried. If proof needed to raise willingness, very unlikely, said Death. And very unlikely. I got like a chill last line. So I think he did a fantastic job to the picture, to the quote he chose. And, of course, it's always awesome to get to hear him read. This is an amazing, and a reality beckons, so it's all back to that title. So fantastic. And before I give Stephen comment, let me say hello to AP. Hey, AP, sorry you were there hello. So long. Realize it.
Not a problem. Happy day.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And, Stephen, I know you need to get back to Kay, so I wanted to go to you first to comment for Titus, please.
Yeah, I thought, well, first off, I have to say sometimes I get floored by where, a picture and a quote can take somebody's muse, and this is an amazing piece, I think. The imagery, I told him in my comment, it moves me from the beautiful sky in that picture all the way down to the Dark River Styx, and then back up to Lake Town under the shadow of the Lonely Mountain. I thought that this was
awesome comment. Appreciate it. And say hi to Kay from us all. And I will see you on Wednesday. Thank you for calling.
All right. Take care, everybody.
See you, Sterve.
And AP, did you want to comment for Titus?
Yeah, look, I there's a certain way that that very good English writers look and study death, and I say study death because they sort of step back from it and look at it and comment on it in a way that I think is sort of kind of unique, really. And I keep on thinking about Monty Python in this sense, but there's something brilliant about their insights into death, and there's something brilliant about their insights into how it sort of happens upon. And I think that's the wonderful thing about this poem. It's all brilliantly written and wonderfully rhymed and all of that stuff that Titus does, but the insights into the sort of English psyche and how sort of death happens upon, I think, is fantastic.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Hatter?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the first time that I've actually seen that Titus had written directly to something specifically in a picture. And then I go, well, you know, it's probably not true. But then Stephen hit on it also, that it relates to the picture tremendously. I mean, it's the color of the sky and the beginning of the violent looks, and you could certainly see the dragon being released from the underworld or being pissed off. So, yeah, I'm totally agreement with the other comments. Well done to the picture, and good job.
Great comment. And Wayne?
Yeah, Titus did another good poem here. He's got a good storyline, great rhyme. It starts out with insipid tongues are known to dabble with the sky. That puts a nice calming effect over the poem to start with, and every line through the poem is just wonderful. Also, we got down, he said, it shows the truth. Our minds have now exceeded to drive the flames, how the years have become seconds. He just keeps saying little layer after layer of the poem, and very good poem. I enjoyed it a lot. Good job, Titus.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Sweepy?
Oh, I've got to say, this is just brilliant and beautiful, and it all comes down to knights and dragons and curses and witches and, you know, what are the truths between the light of the day and from heaven and hell and all that reigns between. I really love, you know, to douse the flames, how the years become seconds, uncoiling what was the first thought, a mind unimpeded. I also love insipid tongue say no more, but if there is any truth on matters relating to the theories, the dragon's breath could not have raised the dead had it tried. If proof needed to raise illness, very unlikely, said death. And for some strange, bizarre reason, this whole poem between death and truth and lies and all of that, what I know, the truth it shrouds, Emily Dickinson's beautiful Tell the Truth, but Tell It Slants came into my head too. I just thought it was beautiful, Tony. I thought you did a wonderful job with the dragon and its tales of death. Great, great poem, sir.
Awesome comment. And I think I let everyone. I did. Okay, so let's see here. AP, are you needing to go and get back to your visitor, or?
I do have my my mum helping me out today. It's very much appreciated, I have to say.
Well, there's not much more, not much better comfort when you need a little than to come from Mama, that's for sure. So let me
yes.
get home so that you can get back to her. And there it is. Okay, and just read the quote from Buddha that you wrote to, please, before you read.
It will. This is, the quote was, "The stars danced tonight underneath the roving eye of Eve's twilight." This is a poem called Indefatigable, and it's based on the poem Invictus, one of the famous British poems by the poet Henley in 1875, and it goes a little bit like this. "Clouds past the night carry me, their tones steel shading by toll. Mind is set beyond stars to see, into days when moon's off hole. To those who see but an outer stance, inside revolves a spirit empowered. This, my friends, is seeking to dance, visions and ideas in space flowered. Many dead stroll by Eve over years, they cower on their journeys afraid. Racked in poison by tiny spears, their future lies broken and grayed. Not me. I carry hope with weight, yet pliable and desired like gold. I orbit the suns to works I create, past stardust. The galaxies unfold." End poem.
Fantastic. And, you know, what I wrote, yes, I agree. Great word. Indefatigable. I think I saw your picture there by the definition. And you know, you always, I wrote it, I'm going to say, you always ooze hope and optimism for all the rest of us. And it's, you know, I'm glad that you wield it for yourself as well. And like, I remember the last thing I said to you on when you finished this poem was that, you know, it's fine, you can read it tonight, but you have to come back next week and read it. And mm-hmm. and I must say that I'm very, very, very glad that you are able to and that you are home
yes.
and that you are home
yes.
fully intact. So
yes.
optimism
yes.
is an
yes.
amazing thing. So, yeah, fabulous poem. Hatter, what do you think?
Unmuted. Yeah, hey, AP.
Hey.
What was this? I got to start writing these down. "Many dead stroll by Eve over years, the cower in the journey's afraid. I've been poisoned by tiny spears." Tiny spears of the lightning. What was the... I'm playing catch up here. I thought I knew what yours is about. "The stars dance tonight underneath the roving eye of Eve's twilight." You know, there is something to say about the, for example, the Native Indians that thought spirits guided Mother Nature certain events, the spirit of the lightning or spirit of the rain or whatever. This speaks of it. It's a little Aborigine coming out of the AP.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. You're right, Hannah. Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of connection with the broader world thing. So that yeah, absolutely.
All right, got it right.
Well, that was a cool comment, Hannah. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said this is a wonderful mood. Your thoughts are greater than the size of the universe as you orbit the sun creating. You can see far ahead, both in distance and future. Very intelligent poem, and did a good job with it. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you.
Love
you. Awesome comment. And my sweet. Are you muted, hon?
I am muted. I'm sorry. AP, I got to say, I really kind of understand this poem. Because if you carry your darkness with darkness, you swim in it, and many just take what they have and they just cower, afraid to move forward, afraid to you know, your future is broken with lies and grayness and, you know, just this woe is me world. And if you don't dance, you don't dance. And if you dance, you dance. And you got to carry that hope, the weight with hope. And, you know, you orbit the suns to works I create past stardust and the galaxies unfold. When somebody holds their heart in your hand, yeah, that's the galaxy you let it unfold. Otherwise, you just lay burdened with your own. And I really like the hope it carries. Orbit the suns to whoops I create. Past stardust, the galaxies unfold. I really, really love the message and the thought of the beauty outside. Whatever darkness is there to begin with, go past it, because God knows the galaxies unfold. I really like this.
Won't you dance with me? Won't you
dance? Thank you, Swain. I guess, Deb, I'll just share a little bit about this. I had a pretty tough week last week. And when I I was strongly of the view that I would not have half of my right leg you know, a few days later, and that it, I was booked in to get it amputated. And so I managed to somehow skirt that and just have a fairly simple operation. It's strange reading it compared to, but it's not strange in the sense that I had my head around it if it was going to happen. And if it had happened, I would have been okay and we would have sorted it. I'm just very glad I didn't. So I'm going to be very good and get myself better and work a little bit less and try not to get myself as run down and as angry as my foot was coming forward. So that's a bit of a promise to everybody else.
It was an angry foot.
It was very angry.
Oh, it was very angry.
Yeah. Pissed off.
Right?
It was.
But now you get to just heal.
Yeah.
And then when you're feeling up to it, you get to take your mom out to a nice dinner for coming over.
Correct.
And pampering you.
That's exactly right. That's right after seafood. I mean, the lovely thing was that I actually got myself into that headset last week, and it'd be really fascinating to actually listen to the two, to compare the two, and how they were read, because the emotions are quite different between the two. But I'm glad I had the chance to.
I think I would like to hear the difference as well, because, like,
yeah.
I think I said to you earlier today that it was only 1 week ago today, but it seems like way longer. So, like, yeah, I'd be curious to hear the difference. But anyway, I'm really glad you called, but get back to
Thank
Mom.
You.
I hate the fact that she's
I'm
sitting
back.
Over there while
I'm
you're on the
back.
Phone.
Yeah,
and we will talk soon.
Okay, thanks again.
Thanks,
everybody. AP. Thanks, Deb. We'll talk soon. Okay.
All right,
take care.
Cheers.
Okay.
It was a miracle. It was. A miracle.
I know. It doesn't seem like it's been way longer than a week ago, though, Hatter, because it's been a roller coaster all week. Anyway.
Yeah.
Really, really happy that it worked the way it did, even though I have no doubt he would have found a way to you know, make that work and went onward and upward from there. But it's sure nice to know that he gets to do it with his entire body with him, you know? Okay, now I need to know, my sweet, do you need to read and get out of here too, or?
I it would be really great, just because I'm trying to rest my voice for my whole show tomorrow night.
That's kind of what I was thinking, yeah. All right, let me put your link on the board, my dear, and you go ahead and show us what you got.
What I got. Not a problem. Well, tomorrow night is the White Elephant Show. So if you haven't picked a gift, go in and pick a gift. I have a few more left. I'm very, very excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Remember, there are presents to include a one-month free gold membership at AP. So I'm very excited about that. Just really, really, really excited about that. So come on along. Let's have some fun. Tonight, I am very excited about Buddhist quotes, and hopefully everybody will enjoy. Let's see if I get right. I keep going to the wrong page. Not the wrong page, but the actual, your prompt page. So my quote is, whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. And I love that whole quote in your poem. So this is St. Peter's Garden and the Queen of Heaven. Her reddish mane hung from her shadow crown, shimmering under beams of the cherry blossom canopy's light. Beings of light and dark bowed to their newfound queen, unaware of her decree to loyalty. She quietly salted the rivers to the sea. Cascading waterfalls of blue jewels are illusions cast in the mirrored eyes of imps, pretending to be ladies with smiles and salutations, whispering in sweet tones of admiration. They sing the songs of love, crushing the bones of man and destroying the dreams of children. Notes of tragedy in pink trilogies, whispered stories in the wind. A string quartet in harmony cried out for clemency. Notes rang in tune for mercy and cursed the reaper's threats. For onto earth the petals fall and the pink beauty rots in the dirt. Ask not forgiveness in shades of linen white, where old men play poker betting on other people's lives. Pray for the stranger to draw the ace with his mighty king and watch his spirit fade back to his earthly queen. Her reddish mane hung from her shadowed crown, glowing in the ambient light of the corner. His eyelids fluttered open, and he whispered his decree. You are the Queen of Heaven. And he knew she did not believe in home.
My goodness. Where do I start? Well, I think I'm going to start in the second stanza. Cascading waterfall, blue jewels or illusions cast in the mirrored eyes of imps, pretending to be ladies with smiles and salutations, whispering in sweet tones of admiration, they sing the songs of love, crushing the bones of man and destroying the dreams. Children, there is such a powerful contrast in just that one stanza that it was like, oh my word, we went from this cascading waterfall to crushing bones and destroying children, and you did it with such beauty in between. My goodness, ask not for forgiveness in shades of linen white, where old men play poker betting on other people's lives. What a scary thought that it would be some men sitting around playing poker that decided your fate. Pray for the strength to draw the ace, the mighty king, and watch his spirit fade back to his earthly queen. Oh, if only you could play a hand of poker and go back. But then they say once you get there, it's so grand that you don't want to go back. So would you play? Made me start thinking there, sweet. But her reddish mane hung from her shadow crown. And I thought, uh-oh, her reddish mane. I was just like, the imagery is unbelievable and gorgeous, and the back and forth of the emotion there. And I mean, okay, St. Peter's Gardens and the Queen of Heaven. That is a perfect title for that, the art. like I said, between the beauty of that garden, but the soul crushing, oh my goodness, of the thought of them sitting there playing this poker game, like I said, and I keep getting pulled back to the crushing the bones of man and destroying the dreams of children. I mean, how much more of a lowlife could somebody be that's destroying the dreams of the children? So, I mean, you really packed a fistful of emotions all through this, sweet. Stellar as always. You're a rock star.
Thank you.
Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, that picture, it doesn't take long before Sweets gets into, you know, crushing the bones of man, destroying the chin. I mean, I was trying to figure out, being the light, the dark, bowed to their newfound queen, the cherry blossoms, the trees, or is it just a metaphor, or somebody's down that the canal there? Because I got lost on it when you said he knew she did not believe. Boy.
He's the queen of heaven.
I've never heard of that as queen of heaven. That's cool. And to answer what Deb had said about the old men playing poker, betting on other people's lives, it's sort of what's going on now. I think they are. They're just playing games, and we're the pawns. And it's terrible. Way to draw the emotions out, CP. Did it again. Let it open.
Sure, you don't want to break out the song again before I ask Wayne to comment?
Oh, sweet pea, won't you be my girl? Won't you be my girl? Okay.
There you go. Wayne, what did you think?
I think it's another wonderful job that Sweet has done here. It's a wonderful biography of the picture, kind of like. The lines are amazing she has in this poem. Like, ask not for forgiveness in the shade of linen white, where old men play poker betting on other people's lives. It's just she got a lot of emotion in these lines, and it's kind of subtle, but it's a lot of love and description in this poem. I like the whole lot. And did an excellent job with this. I love it.
Thank you, Wayne.
My oh my. So, let me go grab Wayne's, put it on the board. And I'm so excited to see how the White Elephant show goes. It was a brilliant idea, actually, my sweet.
Thank you.
Sorry, forward to it. Okay.
I'm ready for it. I already got my poem ready.
Yeah, I got to work on mine after the show so I can get it ready, Freddy.
And Deb, I think you have the hardest one of all. I really do. I just got to say, out of all of them, I think yours is the toughest.
Well, we shall see how. We'll test that out.
I mean,
out.
It's one of the best poets, but I think it's
anything.
The toughest. I know. Hatter, yours is the easiest.
Let me, I was trying to get Wayne's on before you go so that you can hear him then. Beat. So if you click on his link, I shall push play.
All righty, let's go.
Oh, yeah. This is called Standing Alone. Whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. Cries lie beneath butterscotch breath, a passing tomorrow's. Frigid ivory blanket cast upon Merlot memories gone. Weeping web wind, scarred, sad sculptured song. Life's winter waffled while stinging spring dreamed. Then a daze. Dotted peripheral prison past scenes. Tassel time, travel torn on tagged titanium trails.
Katie's Digging Girls, Gone, the Persimmon Pigtails, Bitter Beauty Buttoned Upon Branch and Lagging Limbs, Sycamore Serrated Sounds, as Saxo Shouted Hymns, Goldenrod Rays, Tingle, Touching Timber Trunk of Tree, Wintergreen Eyes, Silent Scene, Till Sassafras Spring Freeze. In.
Wow, Wayne, I see a lot of color that it wasn't a requirement this time, right? Which I really love when that happens. I love the fact that you have so many colors in your brain now from writing with them so often that you just flat out incorporate them. And I was just peeking. Did I or did I put them at the bottom? Okay, they're always at the bottom. I wasn't sure. I thought I left them out this time. Anyway, back to your amazing poem. Whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. Cries lie beneath butterscotch breath of passing tomorrows. Frigid ivory blanket cast upon Merlot memories gone. Weeping web. Sad, sculpted song. There's so much emotion just right there, but for some reason I really love whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. And there's...
Yeah, that's video's quote right there I used it the first time. It was this quote.
Oh, cool. Okay. And the weeping webbed wind. See, you and your alliterations. Scarred, sad, sculptured song. It's so sad. Just that. And the weeping webbed takes me back to that tree because the branches and limbs are so heavy from holding all that snow that they're literally, it makes it look like a weeping willow tree, but it just adds to it, the thought of that cold pulling down on it. Life's winter waffled white, stinging spring, dreamed, dented days dotted, perforated prisms passed. I mean, wow, you're so clever with the alliterations, Wayne. Bitter beauty buttoned upon branch and lagging limbs, which is part of what I had seen just in the word weeping because of that particular tree. So I thought that you did really great with this. And then that last line, wintergreen's eyes, silent scene, till sassafras spring. Sassafras, I can't even say it. I don't know why I can't. Sassafras spring. I think that this came out really great, Wayne, and it was an awesome tribute to the line that you chose as well. But between those whispered salutations and that weeping web wind, I think that it's really, really powerfully emotional.
Thank you. And a 10 out of it.
And let me get a comment from Sweet so that she can go have a hot toddy.
Ooh.
Are you muted, dear heart?
Yes, I'm muted. No, I thought it was beautiful. Compared to what I wrote to that quote, yours is like peaceful and calm and beautiful, and I'm all like, eh. No, I thought your words were beautiful. I love your alliterations. I think you have this amazing way of doing that. And I just love the way you write, Wayne. You just have this way of bringing this quiet peacefulness to some of your writes, and I thought you did a great job with this one.
Appreciate that, Sweet.
Awesome comment. So take care of you, and we will see you at the White Elephant Party.
All right. I am so excited about tomorrow, you guys. Thanks.
Go sleepy.
One more time before you go.
I will dance with you every day, sir.
Thank you.
Night.
Bye.
And Hatter, what did you think of
Night?
Well, the
I love the first line. He started off great. Whispered salutations to the basket deal. Hello? Hello. Right? Little winner. I don't know why that made me smile. Is sassafras a color too, also?
Yeah, it could be. A smell.
Yeah, like could a root
beer. Could be. Yeah, yeah. And sassafras is basically licorice, right?
It's a root.
I was gonna say it's a root, yeah. I don't know. It's
sort
so
of, when you go to the bar and they say, well, give me a sassafras. I was just carbonated licorice. Was it a licorice tasting?
I don't know.
I've only ever had like a fake root beer.
I think they called it the root to
me. Oh, okay. Then I can't find it. It's the end of the first one. Weeping webbed wind scars and the sad sculptured song. The lone tree in the meadow whispering salutations as you walk by. I get it. It fits the picture perfectly. Proud to picture. Never mind.
I dig it.
In the cut. Sorry.
Fantastic. And if you guys would click on Angel's Poem, I'll read it for her.
Okie dokie.
Oh, yeah, see it?
Got it.
Okay. This is Dancing in Heaven, a Heavenly Angel. And the quote that she wrote to is...
What's going on?
Yeah, what's happening, Deborah? You're dancing in heaven. Did we lose her? Okay. Yeah, she probably ran into the other phone, so we'll kill some time. Cool picture, Wayne. Let's talk fantasy football.
I'm getting beat again tonight, but I'll be ready for it again next week in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Didn't you lose by like 2 points?
Oh, hold on. Say that again, Wayne.
I said, didn't your team lose by like about 2 points or something like that? A close game?
Yeah, by two points or something, and he played two guys on byes. His bench scored more points than my team. I'm hurt, and I got to progress first round. It looks like.
Yeah.
So pray for me.
It'll be a rough game. I got to play Joy again next week too. So I went and got me a tight end to play for this weekend.
Yeah,
I took him out right before the game because I was trying to get the highest amount of projected points. He got 40 points. I would have won easily if I predicted him.
We noticed that. You know, besides yourself and Joy, I think did the most juggling with players throughout the whole season and did well. Okay, did well at the end. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to pick them up. You got to see their pain and see their pain and how the team's been doing. They got for Jacksonville, quarterback for Jacksonville, he's great. He's going to be one of the greatest all-star players of all time.
Yeah.
He's really wonderful. Awesome. 2 weeks in a row, he's just amazing.
The playoffs will be interesting for one reason, that the guys that are locked in, you're going to get minimum for the – well, the ones that are locked into playoff positions those last 3 weeks will be – hiding their best players, so that gives me a shot. If all aggressive players sit down, yeah.
If they start aggressive players, all the good players will be sitting on the bench if it don't matter to them. So there's likely players they can be playing.
Darn it. I don't know when my phone died. Did I finish reading the poem?
No.
No.
You didn't hear none of it.
No.
None of it?
I none of it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was
right up to where you were introducing it to read. That's when we lost you.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm sorry. The quote that she wrote to is, "With salutations, endure the mask of sorrows," which I was saying was tonight. And this is called Dancing in Heaven, and it's by Heavenly Angel. And let's try this where people can actually hear me this time.
Might help.
Okay. I know, right? As I lay down my pad of paper to write, I close my eyes and remember my mind in deep reflection. Sometimes simple verses speak so many volumes. These words that are written for you could never do justice to the life that resonated for you, that you shared so unselfishly. Whispered salutations adorn the mask of sorrows. You speak to me even in silence, and I am close beside you once again. Branches sway to hushed whispers of those spirits who moved on, as my mother, who now dances among the clouds, and poem. And what I was saying was I was so touched by it that I felt all the way back in the second stanza, these words that are written for you could never do justice to the life that resonated from you, that you shared so unselfishly. And that part right there struck me as knowing in my heart that she was writing about her mom. And I mean, it's no doubt how much she misses her, and you can see it in here. And I also remember saying that I thought that it was a fine tribute to both the lines that Buddha wrote and to her mom, and that her love definitely shows there. And then I also mentioned, not that anybody heard it, was that this is a gold-winning poem. Congratulations on the gold. And that it's quite often can be said that when Angel gets here with one of her poems, she, whomever's her reader is usually reading an award-winning poem like this one. Beautiful share, Angel. I was honored to be your reader both times, even though nobody heard it the first time. What did you think?
Yeah, it's always better the second time sometimes. This is our Hallmark girl. Angel writes beautifully. She puts it down, and it doesn't matter if it's a long or if it's brevity. She gets it all accomplished. My mother, who now dances among the clouds. I mean, can you imagine the sky with no clouds? I could.
Cannot.
And these words were written for you. They would do justice to life. So personal when you write about somebody, when you miss them, and a final episode, you know. I'm glad to see, when I asked AP if he'd been writing, when your emotions go the full length and gamut of emotional scales, it's interesting that if you can write it down in both happy, sad, and everything in between. As an exercise not to play with your emotions, that sort of came out wrong. But, Angel writes beautifully every time. Dancing in Heaven.
I agree. Awesome comment, Hatter. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said, this poem is so touching, I got goosebumps as you read it. There's nothing like the memories of your mother. My mom still speaks to me. Great write, great tribute, and wonderful emotions. I love the line, these words are written for you to never do justice to the life That is touching and wonderful, and boy, this made me feel good inside. It's a good poem, a good poem.
Awesome comment. Thank you, guys. Now, if you click on mine, I will read my tribute to Buddha's lines. Tell me when you see it.
I get
it. I see it.
Yes. All right. Okay. Mine is called Swapping. My third stanza is in quotes, and that is the piece that I wrote to for Buddha. It's called Swapping Shadowed Sorrows for Sunlit Smiles. And here we go. On the powder blue Bayview, fading citrus sunset hues contain cream simple tints, striped with pink sorbet. Light from the sun's blaze ducks into the purple mountain range, leaving sky pigments stained nightshade berry black. A crescent moon gleams above her glen of sorrows, illuminating a path forward, whispering windy wisdoms as she shuns the past for the last time. But then storms circle the canyon sky as shadows dance on the path to the stone cathedral on the mountain. Now the whispering voice from the breeze corrals shades of sorrows, then swaps them for color snapshots showing sunlit tomorrows. And poem. And Buddha's a crescent moon gleams above her glen of sorrow, illuminating a path forward, whispering windy wisdoms as she shuns the past for the last time. I love
Whoa.
That piece,
yeah.
You know? Amazing.
Yeah.
What an inspiration.
You know, I know what a meadow and a lay and but I've never heard Glenn used in that way. Glenn of Sorrows. That's interesting. But for Glenn of Sorrows, illuminating the path forward, whispering windy wisdoms. You know, everybody has been whispering, and there was salutations throughout the night. And what was the, whispering salutations. Seems like, oh, and children. You didn't get the children crying in here. Okay. It's funny how, even with different pictures, there was a somewhat of a common type theme within the poem lines. That's what I saw anyway. So, except for
no,
your
I have two. Yeah, no, I have two. I think that was really interesting because even if it was different quotes, like you said, it some piece of it or another tied them together, which is really, really cool and interesting.
Our moon rites that we both had farts in it, food farts.
That's true. Yeah. Who would have guessed?
I kept,
And I would just go right into your poem, but I know that Wayne will yell that he didn't get two comments. So Wayne, what you think?
Oh, yeah, that's a comment. You threw a little alliteration out throughout the poem, and I like that a lot. Had some little, nice little phrases. You made a movement of sun and shadows, a movement in a gentle way that brings daydreaming on. I kind of daydreamed up there. You get to talk about it so smoothly. And I like the stanza, but then the stars sparkled, the canyon skies and shadows danced on the path to the stone cathedral on the mountain. That's a great stanza, and all those great stanzas. I like having a whole lot. Did a good job this day, Deb. I liked it a lot.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Appreciate that. And before we continue, it looks like I have JCA in the studio. Hey, Jenny.
Hey.
JCA.
What is going on, everybody?
Good to hear you,
Deb.
Yeah.
I want the ice cream truck to pass by with creamsicle tints and pink sorbet.
Yeah. It'd be nice if he went by. I could go for some of that myself. Thank you. So, Jay, are you pressed for time?
No, I'll stick around a little bit and just relax a little bit. I got
cool.
nothing
How
better. They won't let me work yet.
Bob, so I was going to ask, how's the healing going?
It is going better than what I thought it would, which is always a great sign. What I will do here, and it's kind of amazing what they're able to do. You know that?
What did you have done? What was done?
I had a shoulder surgery. I broke my arm several years ago, probably close to 8 to 10 years ago, and in two places, and they put a plate, metal plate with 8 screws in there, and the plate was sitting hot. So it was pinching my bicep muscle, and what they had to do is they had to go in and take the hardware out and repair the bicep. And they also did a little bit of a scope on the shoulder itself. So they did a little bit of everything, but it turned out great.
Good.
Feeling way better than I should.
Is that your right shoulder?
It's my left shoulder. You know, I'm right-handed,
yeah.
so that's
okay.
The good part about it.
Well, yeah, you can't say it to Tommy John's, otherwise you can.
No,
pitch
definitely.
It later.
It's definitely not that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you will when you get old. Just all you have been fighting, all you're fighting, Rick Evans, and it's a pain in the butt to get well.
Man, it would have been so much worse if it was your right hand. But I'm glad it went so well. It's like the last couple of days of people health-wise have had encouraging news, and I'm glad that you are one of them as well, because you just never know. Tyler,
yeah.
AP, you, surgery, all good outcomes.
Yeah, so they went in, and like I said, I'm surprised that I'm feeling as good as I am. I'm really, really stunned.
Yeah.
I've been walking around all day with no sling on. And then you got to understand, I had this surgery 2 Thursdays ago.
Wow.
And it's a major surgery is what they did, especially with the repair of the bicep, because they had to detach it from one place and then reattach it to another place. So that's the major recovery time. You know, taking the screws out of the bone, that's going to heal pretty easily. But it's the bicep.
I know I'm still stuck on the taking it off of one spot and moving it. I'm like, the agony.
I got lucky because right here I went to La Crosse, Wisconsin for the surgery, and they just happened to have a shoulder surgeon there that all he does is operate on shoulders. So I was very fortunate for that.
Oh, yeah.
One of those right place at the right time.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right place at the right time. And I'm only going to have to go down the street about 5 minutes to go to physical therapy, which is even better.
Cool.
Good luck with it. I hope it works out good.
Say
hey,
again,
I'm the hippest guy you know.
Oh. Cute new hips, ha ha.
Yeah.
But Wayne's been trying to say something, and
I'm glad. I'm glad his surgery worked out good. And I hope it all ends up good too. Because getting surgery this time in your life, it's hard to get well right properly. So stay your recuperation process and hang in there. Good job.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, Hatter, your poem is on the board, so you want to show us what's wrong?
I was looking at the quotes, and I thought I had one, and I saw the picture, and I hope it would fit one of the quotes, but I never went back to find it.
You know what? I do think that one of them, because, of course, how could I scroll past a poem that had anything to do with butterflies? And I know that I'm trying to find it as I ramble here. I know that one of them did have the butterfly in somewhere. And if I could just...
yeah, it was like the last...
Like a dancing butterfly, tender wing.
There you go.
You perched, flirting with a jilted rosebud.
That'd be it. And who shall it be? I pray not I. Pretty butterfly. It goes like this. Years have passed of the day of record, remembered of when they counted backwards. Silence resounds on colored padded keys. Simply confounds the way it's going to be. Questions of what they thought had been extinct by law somehow pretends what happens to those that cannot hear, to know and crow they've disappeared. Trust no one when your name is first to be turned in echoes repeating the curse. They burned the land that held the trees, hiding and hidden in touch with clouded bees. Hail the last of my mother's tears, adding the names might disappear. Whom shall it be, I pray not I, to witness the final flutter of another butterfly. Someday they'll be all gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a sadness in your voice there, Cutter. I'm going to start with the end. Whom shall it be, I pray not I, to witness the final flutter of another butterfly. I don't want it to be me either, that he's the last one. I didn't realize how many species of butterflies we've already lost, and I'm holding out hopes and prayers that we can save the monarch butterfly, because, like, come on. It's just, if we don't start stepping up and trying to do something to save some of these critters that keep becoming extinct, what good are we other than just abusing the planet? And this is one of the easiest ones. I mean, I know money's tight, so if you can't grab a butterfly bush, you can get a pack of seeds for less than $2 and make a difference in the migration path of the butterflies, because with the climate changing, some places that they used to fly through at certain times of year, because it was warm, it's not warm anymore. Like, for example, Mexico, when they get to their migration spot to come through Mexico, the temperature is much colder than it was, and it's killing them off before they even make it up into the U.S. So if we could start scattering butterfly bushes, milkweed, echinacea, butterfly and bee-friendly flowers, seeds, plants, we could maybe help save the monarch. But this part, the hail the last of my mother's tears, adding the names meant disappear, and I know that the butterflies were important to your mom, just like the was it magpies, Hatter?
Yeah, it was the one-footed magpie. She thought it was the same one. 35, 40 years later, she said that same bird. Mom, I don't think it's the same one.
Well, you just let
she was sure. She was sure. Yeah, it moved me when my mom was crying and I asked her why, and she said I saw one butterfly this year, and she was referring to when we were I was little growing up then I'm not kidding, clouds, huge clouds of butterflies come down the street and up into the orchards, which are no longer there. When my parents first moved to the village in California, we were surrounded by pastures and orchards, and they're all gone. It's all houses, and you might see a small pasture boarding some horses here and there now, but the big orchards, which were almond and olive, are gone. So good luck recreating the migration path of where they'd hang overnight on their migrations up and down. But I can only pray.
That I do, yeah. I agree. And I like that you took this to the butterfly, to the quote, and to your mom, all wrapped in a nice little package, Heather. I thought it was a great show. Very glad you did. And Wayne, what did you think?
I think this poem is sad, but it's probably a true prediction of the future we got going for us. The butterflies, frogs, and bees are all fighting for their existence. We may have waited too long to try to get serious about this climate change because it may not be able to be reversible now. Great job with that, man. I enjoyed it a whole lot. And it's very educational, environmental point, and I think you did a good job of this. Great job.
Off my soapbox, yeah. Thanks, Wayne.
You'd be welcome.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Jason, what do you think?
I thought it was a brilliant rhyme design, and it had a Poe feeling to it, with a level of brilliance, but also a level of kind of the melancholy emotions behind it. You know, there's a lot of emotion behind it, and it goes all over the place, but it kind of gives you that that ultimate feeling of. Kind of a dread of something that's bringing you down and everything like that. And if I can about this, they're discovering new butterflies all the time. I understand the keeping of the ones we have, we have to, but we also need to support the studies to finding the new ones. They actually found a new butterfly species called the Asher's Blue in Oregon in June of this year. So,
oh, really?
Yep.
Awesome.
So we've got to support them in any way you can. There are such things as designated monarch lands. So if you can find one of those, give them support. Give different areas of that like support. Go out and do what you can and make a difference.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, in the world of extinction, of being born and found in extinction, it happens quite often. It is tragic when the bigger animals, the rhino, for example, the elephant's going to go the same way, and so the other big animals. And it's sad that we had a hand in it, but throughout history, if you talk to these biologists, the animal people, it happens all the time and has happened throughout history. So it's not uncommon that we lose certain breeds. We just don't want to add to it, which I find hard. We don't have hands-on with just about any disaster these days.
Exactly.
Yeah, get some milkweed, monarch.
That's what's nice around here. We've got wild milkweed growing, and people, when they got the milkweed growing in their yards, they let it grow, which is kind of nice around here.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's very awesome.
Yeah. We have on the coast, on the Contra Costa County, which is upper San Francisco Bay area, when you leave the Bay Area, that's where we lived till I was like he was 10. Yeah, a lot of the milkweed and that kind of stuff with the cocoons, stuff monarchs put on. We're losing all the land. Silent running.
Awesome. See all that discussion that it evoked, Heather?
Yeah.
All right. Jay, if you would read the quote that you chose and then read your poem for us, please.
All right. The quote I picked was, "The vacuum held deep within as abandonment whispers breath into the hollows, into the hallows." And then I picked the kind of a picture of an absolute storm. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I just watched something on this kind of about this lady, and I went with a story, kind of a poem that's based off a serial killer, Mary Ann Cotton. And I called it Cotton Field. Cotton filling field of picked crimson cotton, rolled from the cranberry fingers, painted with the powdered flamingo, Realgar. Child breasts faded in the ivory bolts of her onyx storm cloud brain, insane, insane, the maple gallows stained. Insurance of the denim collar husband, spider with the pimento hourglass abdomen, lover shanked in the spiked gastric medicine. British pounds piled on the lids of chestnut wood coffins. The dead whisper from the turned soil and the pill stone granite as the gale winds pierce while lemon lightning lights the gallows swing. Cotton's life is harvested. Poem.
Wow. Okay, I love the photo that you chose, title, because the colors in there really, like, it you could look at it without the lightning, and it's got the cottony colors, but then you throw all the lightning in there, and it's electric going through there, but there's just something about the cotton field. And then to jump into cotton killing field of picked crimson, it's just like, whoa. So I was wondering where we were going with the killing field, and then Miles' breath faded in the ivory bolt of her onyx storm. And like, I should have known that we were talking about this serial killer, because you're always so good at writing about them. And this one's got amazing metaphors that can tie them into the colors in that storm there, the ultimate storm, and the ultimate storm that must have been going on inside of this person. And she's the black widow that lived from 1832. And you look at that picture, and she just looks like this nice woman. And who would have thought that she was a serial killer, which brings me back to something I said before. If we could look at
alleged.
Someone and tell them, yeah,
alleged.
Well, if we could look at them and tell
them
literally a monster, how much easier would life be? But it's not that way. Insurance of the denim collar husband's spider with the pimento hourglass abdomen. And I'm picturing the colors there, the pimento hourglass abdomen. I'm like, whoa, lovers shanked in the spiked gastric medicine. And it's just, holy cow. It's got vivid images mixed with dark and angry descriptions like that, like gastric. I mean, my goodness. And the dead whisper from the turned soil and the pill stone granite as the gale winds pierce. The gale winds pierce. So it's like the winds are piercing. And it's just vivid, powerful, wicked. Cotton's life is harvested. And there's something about that, like a double play on words there. The cotton is harvested. The cotton meaning her, the life is harvested. And then you wonder, was it smacked or did she get a bad rap? Did she give these 21 people the arsenic or not? And like, why don't they know? British pounds piled on the lids of chestnut wood coffins, and it's like just that thought. Piled on the lids. It's just, man, the descriptions of the visuals for the coffins and whatnot are every bit as potent and powerful as as that picture there with the vivid lightning bolts and stuff.
JC, why don't you read the AN and let anybody that's listening know who we're talking about?
Okay.
Mary Ann Cotton.
Yeah. The poem itself is about serial killer Mary Ann Cotton, a.k.a. the Black Widow. She lived from 1832 to 1873. She was only convicted of one murder, but was implicated in the deaths of 11 of her children, 3 of her husbands, a lover, mother, and a friend, among others. She is suspected of killing around 21 people by use of arsenic. In the poem, I mention Realgar, which is a natural occurring crystal that contains arsenic. And one thing that you can understand, these people, as they died, right before they died, she talked them into insurance policies. And she had insurance policies on all these people that died. That's where the British pounds come from.
Ah. Wow. And man, children, mom, people she knew, if convicted of one, so, I mean, one's bad enough, so she probably did the other ones too, but, like, for it to be so many people that you would have thought were people she loved, and now that you mentioned the part about the getting the life insurance policies first, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they did a made-for-TV movie on this particular serial killer. But I'm taking...
Dorothy Fuentes.
Was it?
Well,
no,
yeah,
they did a television show on her as well, yes. They did a two-part television drama called Dark Angel.
And I'm noticing here, Jay, that you got like 33 serial killer poems. And I like how you do your research and incorporate, such as the plant that you just I'm trying to find that word now. I lost it. You just got done telling us it had crystals in it, and now I can't think of the word you just said. Anyway,
Realgar.
Realgar. Okay. The fact that you did the research, and then by the time we're done, we're not only treated to a poem with great imagery and metaphors, but we also learn something, which is a tribute to back to you and the research that you did, like a full circle. So I like the fact that it led you to another serial killer from connection. So fantastic. Potter, what did you think?
Disturbing. The picture itself just looks just like chaos let loose. The description of it, just like we've been talking about, the where was it? The Pilstogra. You said the British. That's where the British pound comes from. In what aspect did you mean that?
Yeah, I meant.
You mean the line?
No, the British pound, right. the money.
Yeah.
And the insurance policies that she took out on all these people. Each of the deaths that happened, the money piled up. She got more and more money. And she would have killed another one of her husbands, but he kind of figured out that there was something wrong with her when she was trying to talk him into an insurance policy, and he looked into it and found out she was in debt and making bad decisions. So he booted her out of the house and took custody of their kid. So it was one of two kids that actually survived. And the other kid that survived, the only reason it survived is she gave birth on death row.
Oh.
And then she was hung after the child was born to give the child a chance of life.
Damn. Alien time, Matt.
Yeah, wicked. Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, you got to admire her a little bit because she doesn't discriminate against who she kills. She just kills anybody in sight. Very good poem. Great phrase in this poem. The storm, the murderer, and the harvest of cotton. Killer Mary Ann Cotton. I love the lines. In the ivy boasts of her onyx storm cloud brain. Insane, insane, the maple gallows stain. That's just that's great motion in that right there. I enjoyed it. It's kind of dark and kind of spooky and true to life. So did a great job with this, Stacey. Nice to hear you again.
Oh, I appreciate it, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome comments, everyone. Great poem, Jay. And if you guys will see on the board, I put the last two up. If you will click on Bill the Poet, I will push his recording. Got it, Heather?
Yep, Bill the Poet. Gotcha.
Okay, here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Distorted Reflections of Windmills. The stiffened arms of rotating rustic windmills pose in a hieroglyphic style, sending a message, always distorted by the reflection of torn wind sails, broken by a pebble skimming across the river. Standing like swirling giants burnt by the sun, dripping with a frost moustache when the icicles kiss, staying perfectly still as the aquamarine ribbon allows the villages to skate upon its serpentine back. Giant landmarks greeting the goldenrod sun, tips of their hands being covered with a damson dream, fluttering among the waking clouds of a coming dawn, reaching down to collect a long, refreshing drink, to be resurrected by the wind's seductive whisper, creaking with excitement like a wailing banshee, drunken on the mast of a Dutch orange skyline. Another pebble disturbs the ripples of a solemn peace, breaks the rhythm into 100 ever-decreasing circles, warping the image into a million mosaic pieces, where the stillness tries to piece the picture back again before the shadows of the ivory moon disperses the light. End poem.
I love his pronunciations of words, just saying. It's such a treat to get to listen to him read. And I didn't think to say the quote for him either, but he chose the quote by Budo. I skip a flat stone across the water's edge, watching ringlets form each time this skips the surface, breaking sunlight's mirrored image and sky's reflections. And I think he did really great. The stiffened arms of rotating rusted windmills, I should have put the picture up too, pose in hieroglyphic style, sending a message. There's something so cool about that. The rotating rustic windmills pose in a hieroglyphic style. It's a really clever metaphor that I never would have thought of. Standing like swirling giants burnt by the sun. Wow. And what was that other? To be resurrected by the wind's seductive whisper, creaking with excitement, like a wallowing banshee, drunken on the mast of Dutch orange skyline. Another pebble disturbs the ripple of solemn peace. And that line, another pebble disturbs the ripple of solemn peace, really ties in to the quote, especially the part where he says that the ringlets form each time it skips. So I think that he tied the two pieces together brilliantly, actually the three pieces, because it's his right, Udo's words, and then the art that he chose. As usual, he did it brilliantly, and the recording is awesome. I like I said, I really like the way he pronounces words and stuff. It's just so beautiful. Fantastic job. Jay, what do you think?
Well, ultimately, I take a look at this, and he's brought me to a kind of a country place, a little village out in the country, where there's some standing old-fashioned windmills, not these new modern windmills, but the old-fashioned kind. And there's life as we know it that stands still in these places. And ultimately what happens is you have these occasional times where things happen, towns. They kind of like something is just every day, and then it's out of the ordinary. And they're very, very noticeable. And sometimes when you take a look just at the wind turning a windmill, it's like, how old is that windmill? Where is the age within it? How long has it been sitting there? And ultimately, has it been running? Has it been running? Or is this something that is that someone is refurbishing and starting up again? There's so much contained within this poem itself and the feel of it and where it brings me, where it goes from there. It's like, I love that as well, to be resurrected by the wind's seductive whisper, creaking with excitement like a wailing banshee. Like another pebble disturbs the ripples of solemn peace. You know, it's things that happen, things that, especially in those smaller places in the world, you have your own little microcosm, and suddenly something comes in there to make something happen, to rotate the windmill, to get it running again. And I think that that is a brilliance behind this poem.
Great comment. And if you take a peek at the board, I did just put up the art that he wrote to as well, which ties that windmill in. But yeah, beautiful comment. Hatter, what did you think? Call dropped. I was a message saying he had to leave. Kicked him out twice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I guess what I will do is, you know what I'll do? I'm going to just try to call him real quick. See if this works, just so that he can comment on the last poem with me. And
the number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording.
Okay.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Okay, that was ridiculous.
What did you do to the phone, Wayne?
We lost him too. I'm wondering now if it dropped him. All right, so you know what? It's not that I know the number by heart, and it's not that. So obviously Blog Talk's having an issue. So I am just going to say that I will go and grab the next poem, and it'll be the last poem. So before I unmuted, wait, let me look. Is he back? Ah, he's back. There you are. Cool. I'm glad. I tried to call you, and it told me that the number was no good, and I'm like, I know the number is good. Anyway, can you comment for Phil?
I wasn't able to follow Phil's.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted to check. All right. Well, I'm going to play Laughing Souls piece, and then it'll be the last poem of the night. And then tomorrow, don't forget to grab a package if you haven't already done so for Sweet Pea's White Elephant Party tomorrow night. And she will give you your poetic lines to inspire your poetry. Okay, so click on the link, and I will push the last poem. Kashmir dreams above my laughing soul. Gleaming corals seem the ocean for lovers. Night where the tides jive with moonlight. Dancing stars waltz to the beats euphoric. Meet the roving eye of east twilight. Blossom a thousand dreams on celestial bowers. Kashmir breeze shawls you and me and the moonlight. Caravan of azure pearls betwell the canvas cosmic beneath the roving eye of Eve's twilight. End poem. There's always such soft tones in her voice when she reads, like the Cashmere Dreams is a perfect title for the poem, and then her voice really drives it. I'm also noticing that she's got triple ribbons on this poem already. Gleaming coral seams the ocean for lovers. Night when the tides jive with moonlight. I like that, when the tides jive with moonlight, because, I mean, you know, we know that the moon sets the tides, but I don't think I've heard anyone say when they jive before, which is really, really cool. And then the quote that she wrote to, she incorporated a bit there at the end. The quote was, "The stars dance tonight underneath the roving eye of Eve's twilight," and she closed it out with "neath the roving eye of Eve's twilight," which I think was a nice nod to Budo's words to start with. So it's a beautiful little brevity, and again read with such tranquil tones. And I just happen to know that she's one of the people that you love to listen to read, Hatter. So what do you think of the brevity?
Yeah, I noticed with the first line that gleaming coral seam, she spelled S-E-A-M as in a sewing seam, right? The ocean for lovers, coral seam. So the outskirting, she could read poetry to me anytime.
I kind of knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah, I know that you have said that more than once. We'll have to get her to read you the phone book sometime. I'm just kidding. But I know that you really love listening to her voice. Okay, so like I said, that was the last poem for tonight. And what a bunch of amazing poetry that was inspired by Budo's words. I can't wait to hear what he thinks of where everyone, you know, took. And the one quote, there was like three or four that wrote to that quote, but there was mega differences, yet I think you touched on it earlier, Hatter, just a little bit enough that they seem to lead people in a similar direction, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's always cool to have you rummaging through poet stuff and finding Lions and being sort of tribute to the Lions. That's what it's all about, the puzzle of words, the Lions. Poetry.
Yeah.
And kind of.
Fantastic. All right, well, I want to take a moment to thank my incredible board members, AP and Sweet Pea, and my big brother Hatter.
Yay.
All four of you rock, and I'm glad my Sweet's feeling better, and I'm glad that
yeah.
you and AP are recovering from your surgery, and I'm glad that, that JCA is recovering from his way better than expected. It's fantastic to hear. Just take
yep.
it easy. Don't try to push it too fast because it's healed so well, you know. And I also would like to thank Kay and Steven and Angel and Laughing Soul and Phil the Poet and Mr. Wayne Jett and JCA. It's been a while, so I'm really glad that you had time to call and to share your serial killer knowledge. It's funny. You go different when you write about one of the women. You still do the research and you still educate us on these people, but something happens, Jay, when you write about the men serial killer. It's like you step into their shoes, and sometimes it's really freaky. So the joy that you get from writing about these serial killers definitely shows. But again, I'm really glad you were able to call in. And on that note, I think
I feel like a walking True TV.
True TV. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's that show. It didn't register for a minute. I'm like, yeah, but your research and like I said, the accomplishment, the sense of accomplishment, and the joy that you get out of learning and sharing is evident when you share them. So keep them coming.
Oh, I will.
So, looking here to see next week. My show is, what the heck is the date next week? The next week is the 19th. So I'm looking to see next week. It is Naughty or Nice, and I didn't pull any quotes or anything. I just found some really cool. Like number one is this wicked snowman. And then I went back and forth, a nice one. There's a raging, angry gingerbread man and some kids. And then there's Santa who mounted poor Rudolph on his wall. And then a nice, beautiful gingerbread and an elf on the shelf that beheaded Santa. So, you know, a raging nutcracker, Krampus. So I think that you guys can there's even Baby Yoda. I mean, so you can decide whether you want to represent the nice side or the naughty side and just run with it because there's no other requirement. Hatter, no word banks, no quotes. Just go naughty or go nice. Bring yourself out and share with us. And the optional crayon bag is at the bottom, optional. And I will put that link on the board right now so that you can claim some of that art before the one you would prefer is snagged up. And then I will see, mate.
Looking at the pictures. Oh, my gosh. Number 29. Oh, my gosh.
Now I have to see. Oh, my. But they're fun, right? You can go in so many different directions with these. I just wanted people to just take them wherever. Let's see. 29. Yeah, that one was a little bit of naughty, and I saw somebody put one of those in their yard, and it just struck me so funny. So when I came across this photo, I just had to share it. So
yeah, that gives a whole new meaning. Abominable snowman. I'm just saying.
That's very true. Oh my goodness. Okay, so grab your art, you guys, and Hatter, what song are we going out of here with? Hatter?
Unmute.
What do you want to hear?
I don't know. I think we lost him. Did we lose him?
Well,
I think we lost him.
No, he's here. But you know what? Instead, I'm going to turn around since we lost Miss McBee. I think that we should probably leave with one of my favorite songs that she wrote. And so that's what I'm going to do. And this is Fleetwood Mac, song written by Christy McVie, Everywhere. Thanks, everyone. Love and respect.
Have a good night.
Amazing song. Thanks for hanging out, guys. See you next time. Thank you, Heather.